Hold someone's hand, let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive clarity in the knowledge of your Son. Our hearts are renewed, refreshed by the truth that is found in your Son. We behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. All right, good. 1 Peter 2:2, we're looking at, is this spiritual growth? And we've looked at the basis of spiritual growth has to be genuine salvation. Praise the Lord. True salvation. True salvation is faith in Christ alone. And, you know, we looked at all the scenarios that Jesus gave in the parable of the sower. It's like as one that never heard the word. Oh, sorry. They heard the word but never understood it. And so the word came by the wayside. And we found an example in Acts 19 where those disciples of John never even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We said also the second example is the word that fell on the hard ground. It never got to their heart. They just go, woo, glory, yay, ah, oh, oh. They like the miracles, they like the signs and wonders. But when persecution came and affliction came, they fell apart. And that's an example given in someone like Peter, alright, and all the apostles. But then we said that the difference in that, in Peter, was that before Jesus died, he didn't believe. And, you know, as soon as affliction came, persecution came, he ran away. He denied Christ. Okay, just like many of the other 12. But upon salvation, this was not even a persecution against Jesus. It was about him. And he gladly took the heat. In fact, there was a point they were flogged. And the Bible says they rejoiced. What had changed? There was now salvation. So we said, when Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them, the fruit is in prophecy, is not tongues. The fruit is not mighty works. The fruit is, did he believe the gospel? If he did, it says when persecutions will come, in Matthew 7, he says, and the winds blew, the storms came, the rain came, the house was not shaken. So by that fruit, you know someone who has received salvation. So listen carefully now. Hold this is vital. Persecutions actually are a true test of faith. Faith in Christ. True test of faith. And so we said that. The third group, where Jesus said, those that the word fell in the midst of thorns. And these are folks who were obviously got born again because it was in their heart. The word came, but then there was still that overwhelming atmosphere of the pleasures of his life, deceitfulness of riches. He said they choked in the word. And so the word is there, but there's no fruit. There's salvation, but no fruit. I will tell you an example is Simon the sorcerer. Can you remember all that? Remember all that? Simon the sorcerer, who obviously believed, he's following the apostles. He must have spoken in tongues from what we saw. Then he asked them, give me this power that wherever I lay hands upon, he will receive the Holy Ghost. He's someone who has so much confidence in money. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:17, chart them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. The word there is hypsophroneo. That is, they begin to think of themselves with the level of their bank accounts, where they live, where they stay, how they dress. And I told you that Paul talked about children. I'm going to deal with all those traits next week. Paul talked about children. And then he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. And we said there are childish things. There's a childish way of talking. When somebody talks too much, it's a trait of a child. Because out of the multitude of words, one's no sin. You know whether you are growing by how you talk. You talk too much. And you know, we're in a very funny era, the social media era, where everybody wants to talk. And when they're angry, they write it. When they're happy, they write it. Praise the Lord. Even when God became flesh, God hid it from man. God, Almighty God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah everything. Why should you just be talking? You get it? So we said, someone who talks a lot. We also said, children also talk vain things. Remember that? vain. I'll see you all that next week. Vain things. They're always talking, see my shoe. Uncle, see my belt. Mommy bought it for me. See my this one. You know, that's a child. That's a child. And spiritually, we have children. It's always about what they have done, what they have. We also have those who, children are also known by speaking, we call it evil speaking. What's evil speaking? Evil speaking is when you say people's faults when they are not there. That's evil speaking. Vain talk. We also say children are callous. Children are curious. They want to find out what's their daddy, what is it? Who is that? You know, what's your own? Again, children are curious. Children are callous. And sad enough, children might not be really reliable because they are everywhere. So you can't depend on a child to stay somewhere, you know, for a while. So you need to grow up if you have those traits. We'll take it one by one next week. Praise the Lord. All right. So we have those who are not, they're born again, but they are not growing. Paul says, I couldn't speak unto you, 1 Corinthians 3:1, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when you are addressing those folks in the third soil, you are likely to be talking to people who are born again as though they are not born again. You'll be using examples that you shouldn't use naturally, but then because they've acted like there's no fruit to it. So Jesus said that they have no fruit. So for folks like that, they are born again, their faith in Christ is true, but their conduct, their lifestyle, their thinking has not changed. And so we have that kind of Christian. We'll see all that shortly. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. Praise the Lord. We're looking at, is this spiritual growth? As newborn babes, Peter says, desire what? What? The sincere milk of the word. And we said the word sincere is the word adalon. And the word milk is the word gala. Adalon is sincere milk of the word that you may grow. And the word milk of the word there is the word gala. Logikon. Logikon is something that is you are thinking upon. The same word in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable, that is, your reasonable worship. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the sincere milk of the word is what renews the mind. Logikon. It's in the mind. It's something that affects your thinking. That you may grow thereby, the word thereby is salvation. The word soterios. So, to grow in salvation. In other words, we are supposed to grow in the same information, the same truth whereby we are saved. We don't get saved by grace, then we start to learn other things. No. No. We get saved by grace, and then we grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. We grow in grace. We don't just get saved by faith. Then we grow elsewhere. Colossians 2:6. As you have received the Lord Jesus, even so walk in Him. So the growth of the believer is growth in the same message with which he is saved. And so we need to examine a couple of things. There's something I want to be able to explain to you. You know, we've been talking about the apostles, how their conduct before resurrection shows they didn't believe. I need you to give very full attention here at this point. Sometimes it's very good to get the material afterwards and it's fine for study. But you see, your attitude when it's being taught and you're present is as important and more important than if you get the material and listen afterwards. You know, you need to pay very good attention. Now, in 2 Timothy 3:15, watch the words of Paul to Timothy. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. From a child. The word child there is the word brephos. The same word that Peter used in 1 Peter 2:2 as newborn babes. So in other words, when he says from a child, even though he's talking to a young man, he meant from spiritual infanthood. You have known the Holy Scriptures. Every believer starts out as a brephos, a babe. like a child growing up, you know. So he says, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. The word known there means to be acquainted with it. So spiritual growth must be from the Scriptures. It's not by activity, even though activity is an exercise of it. We'll see that as we proceed. Spiritual growth is from the Word. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. The word wise there is the word sophizo. It's used for being clever or being smart. So spiritual growth will be seen in being spiritually smart. And you see, a couple of things will mean things like, you know how to pick the leading of the Spirit, for example. You know how to pray for people. You know how to respond in obedience. That is being smart. You are actually spiritually intelligent. A person can be naturally intelligent and is spiritually daft. It is. When you see a Christian, for example, I'm not trying to speak down to people, and I think I'm trying to be as political as I could. But you see, when you see a Christian, for example, take a bottle of oil and call what's in there the Holy Spirit, he's spiritually daft. He can, and you see people who are intellectually smart, but spiritually daft. And I have to say it that way. Because you cannot, if you are acquainted with the Scriptures, you can't say that. You can. He says, it has made you wise. You are now intelligent. When you are intelligent, you don't take everything as food. Even though it is quoted from the Bible. As I began to grow as a Christian, I'm still growing. Obviously, there are some responses I had when I was younger. I don't have them again. I don't have them. If you told me as a younger Christian that, oh, God came at me. He's angry with me. And so he caused something to happen and happened to me. I will believe it. Because I was a spiritual infant. But I've grown beyond that. I've grown beyond that. There are things I won't do anymore. There are things I won't say anymore. Because my reasoning has changed. It's not arrogance. It is maturity. You don't call maturity arrogance. Except you're a baby yourself. It's maturity. Some things won't excite you anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I remember as a younger Christian, they'll be doing deliverance like, and I'll be shaking where I am. Come on! And spiritual giants. I say, my God. I don't even understand those things. Say, Lord, one day I will join this college of deliverers. I thought it was a spiritual thing. But look at how I said it now, and you are laughing. You are laughing at my past. You know, but the truth is, I won't reason like that anymore. Praise the Lord. That's growth. Now, it says, make you wise. Look at 16. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then it says it's profitable for teaching. Didaskalia. Then it says for reproof. That is persuasion. The third one, he says, for correction. Epanathosis, to set things aright. Then look at the end product. For instruction in righteousness. The word instruction there is the word padia, P-A-I-D-I-A. It is used for a father-child training. It's not the usual word used for training because there's a training, for example, that I received in school. A training. If you're in a university or polytechnic or education, you receive training. Okay? That's a teacher, instructor. But then he uses the word padia, which is to raise a child. So now he's talking about a growth of the person. And it's often used for a father and child. A growth of the individual himself. How he reasons, how he thinks, and stuff like that. A growth. And you see the word in Ephesians 6:4, where he asks the fathers to nurture their children. Fathers, nurture. To nurture someone. To grow. The second time you see it, particularly is Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, just before James. Hebrews 12 says in verse 5, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him." Chastening. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and every son whom he receives." You know the word scourges is an original. "If you endure chastening," verse 7, "God deals with you as sons." Then verse 8, "Not without chastening." Then verse 9, "We have had fathers of our flesh, we corrected us and we gave them reverence. How much more shall we be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" So he uses that word to mean how a father raises his children. Okay, that is to raise up a child in the way he should go. Now, notice a key word there. It says in 15 that the reason why Timothy is now mature and is intelligent is because he's acquainted with the message of faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. In other words, there is a meal for spiritual growth. There is a meal for spiritual growth. There's a meal. That is, the gospel of salvation which you heard will now become your meal. When I say meal, I mean what you take daily for spiritual growth. You know, you don't say, well, they say, well, have you eaten today? Say, why should I eat today? I ate last week. No, you don't say that. You eat daily. The same way, if you are going to have spiritual growth, it has to be what you do daily. So if you eat daily for spiritual growth, the same way you must feed on the same truth daily. Now, so your diet determines your growth. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. "I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. I have fed you," he says, "with milk and not with meat." So your diet. Some folks like that. All they want to hear is who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Start talking about prayer and supplication. Works. 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 Start talking about living right. Works. Works. It's not works. It's housing. Works. Your meal. Your meal. A guy called me one day. He was in Canada, so that was years back. He said, "I'm wondering, did anything go wrong with Paul?" I said, "Why?" He seems like there's some things he wrote towards the end of his life that look like works. Works. So I said, "How did you know they were works?" He said, "Because that's not the gospel of Christ." I said, "Hold on. How did you know? In your dream?" He said, he now quoted Paul for me. I said, "You are quoting Paul to say that Paul was wrong." I thought you would quote yourself. No, that is a babe. A spiritual infant. In Ephesians 4:14, he says that they be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Remember I said, a trait of children is that they are curious and they are never stable. And a child spiritually can be a mature adult. He can be. Have you not seen sometimes, there was a service, a man said that if you want prosperity, it was in 1994, in this Lagos. He said, "The anointing is in my throat." So they brought out this communion elements. Then he spat inside it. And people, educated people, elderly men and women, started to take it. Now I said, if that was done in a nursery school, you would call it manipulation. But with elderly men, that is humanity pollution. the elderly, physically, that they've even been Christians in the day of Pentecost. But it doesn't mean that they are mature Christians. So he said, I fed you. Toss to and fro. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. That word is nepios, an infant. I put away childish things. So, you can know spiritual growth. It's not a mystery. It's not a mysterious thing. You can know spiritual growth. So we have taken away a few things, if you observe. We've taken away acquisition of material things. That's not spiritual growth. Age is not spiritual growth. Being active in church, which is correct, which is godly, might not be spiritual growth. In fact, there are people like that, as soon as they join a church like this, oh my God, or any ministry, or they are born, whatever, they want to come for the service every day. Someone told me years ago, how I wish the service does not end. I said, I'll quote you later. I wish you can be here forever. Have you watched your children before? Before they grow up, they'll pretend that they can cook. They'll be washing things. Leave the place. They'll be playing with the clothes. When they now grow up, go and wash your clothes. Oh! Oh! You get it? So, really, you can be active because you are still a child. You are still a child. And when they cook, you say, Mommy, will you take rice? And it's not rice. So they say, leave me alone. Take rice now. And all that. Okay, please. Go to the kitchen and put up the gas. Oh, there's no bones now. You know, now we want to know whether you really love to cook. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go further. So really, you know, it's about what are you growing on, what you're feeding on. Now, we've been talking a whole lot about the apostles and the 12, about how in the four gospels, obviously, they were not born again. And it was upon the resurrection when Jesus met them again and taught them, they were saved. So then, what was going on with them? I need you to really pay attention here. Now, obviously, they were the eyewitnesses for Christ. All of them. They were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. That's what they were. In Acts 4:33, with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Luke 24:48, you shall be witnesses of these things. Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were called witnesses. Now observe something that I want you to notice. Jesus never called them witnesses before they believed. Even though what they were about to witness included things they saw before he died. But he never called them witnesses till they believed. I need you to take care of this important detail. In Luke 24:25 to 27, remember he met them on the road to Emmaus, and he said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That's verse 26. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, verse 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now in verse 45, the Bible says, then he opened ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The key words used there shows it was their first time. They have not believed till then. In verse 45, he opened ye their understanding, the word dianoigo, which means just the way you open a blind eye, a deaf ear. That means it was locked before, their heart was rigid. In Mark 16:14, he calls it hard-hearted. So he split it open when he preached the word to them. And so for the first time, they saw the gospel. They believed it. Luke 24:45, that they might understand the scriptures. So that was the first time that people that were with Jesus for 3.5 years at least, they were believing the message of Christ for the first time. They had worked miracles, they had preached to others the kingdom that Christ had come. But they were not yet believers in the gospel. However, notice something. Other people had believed before them. So they were not the first set of people that believed. Others had believed before them. For example, look at Luke 10:22. Others had believed. So they were not the first set that believed. Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. Then in verse 23 he says, blessed are your eyes, which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear, haven't heard them. Notice it didn't say they have not believed them. They had heard about the incarnation of Christ. They had prophesied about it, but they never saw it. But they believed it. But these folks saw it. Fortunately or unfortunately, they did not believe. So he said they had prophesied about it. Look at John 8. Still out there? Alright, John 8. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he said, and he saw it and was glad. He saw it and he was glad. So folks had seen this before Christ came. Hebrews 11:1 calls it the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Abraham believed. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord. It was counted to him for righteousness. He believed it. Galatians 3:8. The gospel was preached before by Abraham, saying, in these shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Abraham believed. David believed. All these died in faith. Hebrews 11:39-40 says. He rolled out those folks who believed. They believed. They believe what? They believe the gospel. They believe the gospel in a promissory note. So people had believed before the 12. Let me add one more person who also believed. That fellow who was crucified on the cross at the same time with Jesus. He believed before the apostles. Because he said to Jesus, he told his crucified. He said, you are not ashamed of yourself. We are here for what we have done. This man has done nothing. He said, Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. That is faith in life after death. Something Peter didn't have. Something that Judas could not even muster a simple faith for, and he had to kill himself. But someone who wasn't part of the 12, who obviously must have heard this truth, and then, you know, somehow his conduct did not reflect that. But he says, remember. And Jesus said, surely I say to you, today, you will be with me. That's what he said. You will be with me. In bliss, in paradise, in glory, you will be with me. So there were people who believed before them, whether in the Old Testament or right there in the four Gospels. Hallelujah. It wasn't also unexpected that there would be people outside the 12 in the four Gospels who also believed. And I could take time to show you that, but not today. It's not impossible to have people who have believed. However, he chose these folks to be his eyewitnesses. In Acts 1:8, he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. In Luke 24:49, you shall be witnesses of these things. Don't forget, he said this upon his resurrection after these folks had believed. He never said it before. All he said before was to persuade them to believe. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. About what? About his death. Don't say, brother, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. What he was saying here was, let not your heart be troubled about what I'm about to tell you, that I'm going to go away. Believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me. And what's he talking about? Believe that I will be raised from the dead. That's what he's talking about. In verse 12, he says, and verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, my incarnation or my resurrection. Come on, talk to me. My incarnation or resurrection. Very good. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater than this because I go unto my Father. He's talking about his resurrection. Then he says in verse 13, whosoever shall ask, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. If you love me, keep my, what was his commandment? 10 commandments? No, believe. If you love me, believe. So he said that to them before he pronounced them much later eyewitnesses. So in Luke 10, we read that earlier. Verse 17. The 70 came back and they began to get excited. Master, the demons are subject to us through your name. Luke 10:17. Then he said, behold, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. However, he says, behold, I give to you authority to trample on serpents or tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he said that relative to the mission he sent them. Luke 10:19 is about the disciples he sent on a mission. Of course, we know that that is the authority in his name, but I'm saying specifically, that's what that scripture addresses. However, it says, notwithstanding, rejoice not, because the demons are subject to you. Now, he takes their attention off that. Rejoice not that you are casting out demons, but rather because your names are written where? In heaven. Which is salvation. So that means your rejoicing should be by faith in Christ. Salvation. He addressed that. Don't forget, he's talking to his disciples. That's why he told them in John 8:32. If you continue, he says in 31, you shall be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now the truth is about him being the Son and setting them free in 36 in his death. If you continue, that's not you. They are following him. Alright? They love the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. If you continue in my word, then you shall be my true disciples. What does he mean? You will have to believe that I have been raised from the dead. That's what he meant. You are my disciples indeed. Because if they don't continue, there will be which of the soils? Which one endured for a while? The second one. Right? So, if you continue indeed. So, where was that opportunity to continue? When he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, then he appeared unto them. We'll get to that shortly. Look at Luke 9:49. There was someone also who cast out demons. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Then he said to them, or to him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. He that is not against us is for us. That's not salvation. That's just solidarity. He that is not for us It does not, again, it's not his fault. Just like Gamaliel, Gamaliel said, you know what, don't stop these guys. It doesn't mean Gamaliel was saying in Acts 5, don't stop these guys. If they be of God, they will last. If they are not of God, they will not last. Gamaliel didn't say that because he was born again. It was just being objective. So sometimes, you know, you could pass that off for salvation. No. That someone is reading the Bible every day is not salvation. The Ethiopian Enoch in Acts 8 obviously had the Bible in his official car. That's a chariot. Today, a Philip of some places, not all, not most, would have gone and say, Chief Enoch, I can see why God raised you to this position. You treasure the word of God. The Lord is leading me to come and start a church in your house. You know what Philip said? Philip said, sorry, Mr. Treasurer of the Kingdom understands that what you read. But because the man's heart was ready for salvation, he didn't say, Look at his shoe. Is it the preparation of gospel of peace? Look at what he's wearing. He didn't say that. How can I accept some man should guide me? The man was not saved. He was reading the Bible and he never had the gospel preached unto him. So we can have those instances. So in Luke 9:49, this guy was casting out demons. It doesn't mean he was saved. Because Jesus says in Matthew 7, some will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? And then I'll tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And one of them will be Judas, for example. And maybe some of the 70. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on, you following what I'm saying here? I mean, they were his disciples, but they were not his disciples indeed. Why? Because they were offended, some were offended at the gospel. So, in this instance, look at Acts 1:16. Let's pick out for Judas. So, I need you to think now. That means it's possible for someone to be... That would be too fast. Let's see something first. Acts 1:16. Acts 1:16. That's quite cool. Now, look at Judas. Did Judas cast out demons? Did he speak in the name of Jesus? Did he do mighty works? Very good. Look at Acts 1:16. And men and brethren, the scripture must indeed have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Imagine, it was not guide to them that knew Jesus, but that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Pay very good attention. He was numbered with us. The word he uses here is quite strong. It is the word katarneo. K-A-T-A-R-T-N-E-O. I believe I got the spelling. He was numbered. That means it was God's choice. Numbered with us. You know, Jesus, he chose these folks before they believed the gospel. He chose them. He chose them. All the 12. He chose the 70. So he chose them. Then he says in verse 17, he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. The word obtained is quite strong. Obtained. To take. Now, he uses the word part, which is the word, I'll spell it for you, lagchano, L-A-G-C-H-A-N-O. L-A-G-C-H-A-N-O. Which is used for a portion. You see it in Luke 1:9, John 19:24, and 2 Peter 1:1. Luke 1:9, John 19:24, 2 Peter 1:1. So he was a part amidst others of these ministry. So in other words, God ordained Judas to be one of the 12. He ordained him. Look at this ministry. Let's see this ministry very well. Look at 20. It says, for it is written up in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man go therein, and his bishopric let another take. The word bishopric is the same word in 1 Timothy 3:1. If any man desires the office of a bishop, is the word episcopi, to oversee, his bishopric, his service, let someone else take. Then look at 21. Wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Oh my God. So, this fellow actually had a ministry before he was saved. All of the 12 also had a ministry before they were saved. Now, does that mean that everybody has a ministry before they are saved? Sure. Spiritual growth is that discovery in the local church. You come to know, obviously. So the ministry is not a reaction or a need. You want to meet a need. You saw a need, you want to meet it. No. Obviously, they had this before. But I told you, God's will does not come to pass because God wants it to happen. Except it's about God alone. When it comes to a man, the man has to believe and has to receive. We have some songs like that. In Yoruba, say, in English it means that whatever God determines he will do, I'm afraid of you, O God. No. Jesus will always say, he that believes. That was a wrong impression of God painted in the Old Testament. Not all the Old Testament, but some parts of it. God does not do, and then we have no say. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Now, that's not incorrect, because really, he has had the final say over the consequence of unbelief, for example. But he doesn't have the final say in the sense that it's what he says that will happen. Nope. God wants everybody saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. It's not the will of God that any man perish. 2 Peter 3:9. But men do perish. That's not the will of God. That's the will of man. And there's nothing God can do about it. See, you can pray for an honest person to change. But when somebody is dishonest and rebellious and sees the truth and says no, you are wasting your prayer. That's what you're doing. Look at one time. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desired to sift you like wheat. Say, Lord, I will die for you. I will die with you. Say, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, that means there's a limit to his prayer. Strengthen your brethren. You know, one time he was with them and they were praying. He said, come and pray with me, Peter, James, and John, who eventually became the pillars of the church. He said, come and pray with me. Of course, he went inside. He left them to pray at WCC. So he came back to their chariot. They had earphones inside, you know, with PJJ, Peter, James, and John. You guys are Master. Can't you do 1 hour? We can't, Master. Can't, Master. Oh no! 10 minutes. Lord. He came back again. The third time when he came, then I got up and said, Master, we're ready now. We are refreshed. He said, it's not needed again. He had told them, pray that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They slept off. When they were now ready to pray, he said, pray no longer. For the hour has come. So that means they will have prevented what happened. Why didn't Jesus' prayer prevent it? No. So, whatever you want, God cannot superimpose His will on you. Who's following what I'm saying here? You get it? Good. So let's follow through. So here's Judas, God chosen. Jesus saw him. He was to be a witness. Look at verse 22. So, notice how they picked who was qualified. Verse 21 says, which company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us? Can we take verse 22 together? Beginning unto the same day when he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. You know, Judas filled this gap up till a point. He didn't wait for the resurrection. So, whilst he could witness to us of the incarnation and the ministry of Jesus, the ministry was to witness the resurrection. But in witnessing the resurrection, it gives validity to the four gospels. Who's following what I'm saying here now? So, he becomes disqualified. So, it wasn't automatic that because God chose them, they were going to do it. In John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that you gave me, I have kept those that you gave me. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I've told you, when you hear that the scripture might be fulfilled, is a man fulfilling it. It need not be fulfilled. No. The man obviously walked against all the warnings he was given. Jesus spoke a lot about conversion. You notice? He spoke a lot about money-mindedness. He spoke a lot about the doctrine of the Pharisees, of the priests. He said that, and he was always there. He was at the believers convention. He was at camp. He was here every time. How did they find him to know he's the right person? He was going to the wrong places. That's how they found him. And so he did it for money. And he never spent a dime of what he got. So, Judas obviously, when he said he was lost, now Jesus calls him the son or child of perdition. That word there is a very strong word. It's the word apolumi. A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. Which is from the word perish. A-P-O-L-L-E-I-A. The noun. To perish. Is used for destruction. Something that won't exist anymore. He is called the son of destruction. Obviously, destruction is from unbelief. Look at John 17 again. So in 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's not Judas, because he didn't believe. Thou hast sent me into the world, and whosoever I sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified through the word, the truth. Neither prayer for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their message. Then it says in 21, that all may be one as thou, Father, in me and I in you, and they may also be in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Was this prayer for Judas? Was this prayer for Judas? Was this prayer for Judas? No. Because he just told you Judas is the son of perdition. He wasn't praying for him anymore. So, Judas was ordained, but he didn't receive it. So, can a ministry function or ordinate or ministry function precede a man's salvation?
Yeah.
It could. Remember the words used for Paul. Is a chosen vessel unto me. It is that I will choose him. Could Paul say no?
Yes.
That's why I said, I was not disobedient. Acts 26:19 to the heaven. I was not disobedient. That means you can be what? Disobedient. Hallelujah. And, you know, you'll be doing fine in whatever you are doing. But that's not God's plan. However, ministry is only received at salvation. So their ministry only started when they believed. Their ministry started when they believed. When they believed, then he sent them out. There were people in the Old Testament that prophesied and still did not believe. There are people in the Old Testament that they prophesied. Remember in Numbers 11? When they chose, when Moses chose 70 elders to bear the burden with him. And then the spirit that was upon Moses came on them. Can you remember that story? Who can remember that story now? And then they began to prophesy and did not cease. Yet, when it was time to choose those who believed, only Caleb and Joshua. And in Numbers 14:28, the Lord said, look, whatever they have spoken shall be done unto them. So, there were those who prophesied. For example, Saul the king, he also prophesied. But he was not a man of faith in Christ. He prophesied. So, it was very possible in the old covenant to have people prophesy, and yet they didn't believe the gospel. They received the gospel, they received the miracle, they received the signs and wonders, but didn't believe the gospel. That's why we said, you must build the house upon the rock. It must be built on faith in Christ alone. Who's following this at all? Let me see your hand. You follow this? Come on, let me see your hand. Come on, let me see. Praise God. So, you know, that is what salvation is. The elders, they didn't all believe. They didn't all believe. So, we grow in the Word. Involvement in ministry is not spiritual growth. But you cannot grow in ministry, you cannot grow spiritually without ministry. Involvement is not growth. Preaching is not necessarily growth. So, growth and ministry, pay attention, ought to be built on the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. You learning something? Are you learning something? 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I quoted that earlier, I spake as a child, Paul, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at the word putting away. You know, Peter says, putting away, James 1:2, all guile and malice. James 1:21, laying aside all superfluous naughtiness. James 1:21. Paul, Ephesians 4:21, you put away, 4:25, put away. So there is a putting away in growth. There is a discernible change in growth. Putting away. I put away. So what you put away will be found in your speech. The way you talk. I told you in the morning. The moment you begin to exalt your age in talking to others, you are a spiritual babe. Exalt your position in society. The kind of money you control. Where you live. You are a babe. You are not growing. That is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. I. No. Put away. With your children, they're excited, they're curious, they're unstable, they like attraction, center of attraction sometimes. Children are impressionable, highly impressionable. Praise the Lord. Highly impressionable. First Peter 2:2 again. So, can a man grow without being saved? That's a definite answer. Right? Come on. Good. Can a man grow when he is taught a false doctrine? No, he can't. Because he says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Adolon, which is without deceit, that you may grow thereby. Look at Galatians chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 6. I mentioned that in the first service. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. The word soon is the word tachos. It means immediately. Galatians 1, 6. There are some folks that heard the gospel, the truth of the gospel. They are born again. But maybe they went to another program, something like that, or somewhere. They now heard something else. See, you are so soon removed to another gospel. The word there is metatitemi. It means to change your position to another gospel. Eteros, huagelon. Eteros, it looks nice in the ears. To the ears, pardon me. But it's not the gospel. Charles Spurgeon once said, he says, discernment sometimes is not knowing truth from a lie, but truth from nearly true. So discernment is key. Paul is saying that here. So in Galatians 3, he says, all foolish Galatians. If you say that today, they will say you are critical, you are abusive. But the word there is foolish by the Spirit of God. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ evidently set forth and crucified among you, the word there is prographo. Why are you moving away from the written word? Moving away from the written word. That's what he meant. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect? The word epitelio. You now want to grow, mature in the flesh. It is the same meal. Praise the Lord. When we were younger, we used to do a lot of Bible study and all that. We're just very excited. We'll rejoice in the Spirit. We'll go out in evangelism. We used to pray in tongues the Lord then. When we're younger Christians. You know, study the word together. You study a lot. But now, by the grace of Almighty God, we have matured. You know, the church I now attend, they are practical. Practical. They teach us business, entrepreneurship, how to marry, how to have sex. They teach us things like that. Very practical. Nation building. How to be a wonderful citizen. Yes. Trading. We will organize job fair in church. Who come and look for a job. That's a practical Christian community. Every end of the week, we do sports. Everybody's around. What about your prayer meeting? I don't know about that really, but I think they pray. What about evangelism? No, we don't do evangelism. We don't believe in evangelism. Well, let your light shine. When people are saying, when you flash your call card on Vatican, and say, you are the chief financial officer of so-so and so LLC, Incorporated International. Yeah, yeah. That's the glory of God. You want God to do the same for you? Yes. Say after me. Let your light shine. Okay. Okay. So, you know, that's the point. You grow with the same truth. You grow with the same truth. In the morning, we looked at disciples. Remember? Disciples. Disciples. So they are, I used to when I was a younger Christian. No, sir. You have stopped growing. Your experiences are useless to the body of Christ. What kind of experience is that? You stopped growing. You are still a child. The only growth is your pot belly. Colossians 2:6. As you have received the Lord Jesus, even so walk in. Hallelujah. You cannot grow on the works of the law. You can't grow on the works of the flesh. You can only grow in faith, which is found in Christ. So, now, let me point a few things out. There is what the Bible will call a false doctrine, which obviously is what Peter will call adolon, or the opposite of adolon, that is sincere milk of the word. There are also, you know, there's also the doctrine of legalism. Romans 10, we saw that in the morning. Establishing their own righteousness. And sometimes there's also ignorance. Ignorance is different from rebellion. Ignorance is you did not know. Okay? Rebellion is now you have seen the truth. Just like the Pharisees. They couldn't argue anymore with Jesus. So the best was now to lie against him and attack him. That is not ignorance. If it's ignorance at all, it's willful ignorance. For example, look at Peter in Acts 10. He was about to eat. So he went up on the rooftop to pray. Acts 10, you can read from verse 8 down. Then an angel appeared to him in a trance and then gave him food to eat. Four-footed beasts, arise, kill and eat. And he argued 3 times till he got out of the trance. Obviously, he was ignorant. And then the Spirit said, go ahead, go, follow Cornelius. And he began to preach the gospel. And then along the line, in verse 43, he now says that remission of sins will preach in his name. And then as he said that, Cornelius and his household, they received the gospel and spoke in tongues. He went back among the apostles and said, look, who am I to withstand God? Now notice something. He was ignorant, yet he had a sincere heart. Because he went ahead, he preached those words God said, and he did not deny that testimony. However, years later, in Acts 15, when some folks, and this is it, as the church grows in number and has different places of location, there is a likelihood of false brethren and false teachers creeping in. Sometimes they will sound like other believers who teach wrong doctrine. For example, in Acts 15, you could do that in your study. In verse 1, there were false teachers who were not believers, who just said, you cannot be saved if you are not circumcised. In verse 2, Paul and Barnabas fought them. They fought them, not physically, but they kept putting out the word against what they were saying. They didn't even mention their names. Then they went to Jerusalem to hear the opinion of the apostles. in verse 5, he now says that some again, who were believers, but a sect. So say a sect. That's a denomination. That is a church organization bound by an opinion. An opinion. Sometimes that opinion comes from the leader, a vision he had. Something he said the Lord told him. You know, stuff like that. But it becomes a sect. But they were believers. They now said, you must indeed be circumcised and follow Moses. Those ones didn't say, do the law, then be saved. No. After you are saved, you need to keep it by the law. It's not the same thing as the first one, but they are similar. And they will sound alike, even though the first one in verse 1 came from the mouth of non-believers. The second one came from the mouth of believers. So, as they were arguing back and forth, Peter now got up. Obviously, now more matured. He had grown in the truth. Do you guys remember a while ago when I went to the house of the Cornelius to preach? Can you remember? And God, by my mouth, made known the gospel. Then he said, fine. He said, then we know that God did not put any difference between Jew and Gentile. He purified the hearts of everyone by faith. Said, now, why do you want to tempt God? And put on the neck of the disciples a yoke which our fathers, nor we, were able to bear. He had grown. Hallelujah. Remember, his defense in Acts 11 was not as solid as Acts 15. So a preacher of the gospel should keep growing. This morning and yesterday, this series we're teaching on spiritual growth, I've been listening to Brother Hagin every Sunday morning or Saturday evening on growing up spiritually. Not just Brother Hagin. Some things I had said before too on growing up spiritually. Because this morning I had to rewind a part like 5 times to hear what he said again. So this is, I said it last week, I've said it again today. So a preacher of the word, he says, Peter, he's making progress. You see that the Peter that spoke to Ananias and Sapphira was not the same one who spoke to Simon the sorcerer. He had grown. Obviously, he was different from the one who spoke in Acts 15. He had grown. He was growing in ministry by growing in the word. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Are you following this? So practically, Peter is growing in the word. So you can find a preacher who is born again, but is ignorant. I was ignorant of many things I'm teaching today, and I believe I'm still ignorant of some things right now. So you keep growing in the word. I told you at the workers' convention, if you look at how Paul wrote to Timothy, you will know there is no stop for a believer taking instructions and growing. He wrote to Timothy like Timothy was a new convert. You're going, why? Why would he be telling him, stay away from this person, eat this one, don't do this one? Is he a new convert? No, he's not a new convert. But the way you grow is the way you grow. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? So, Peter was an example of a man who grew steadily. Let's see somebody else. Acts 18, Apollos. Some say, well, let me grow, finish. When I finish growing, I'll be doing the work of the ministry. You can never grow because that attitude shows that you don't want to grow. I've been in the ministry these years, 26 years. Actively pastoring for 24. I've grown. Praise the Lord. I've grown. Sure, I've grown. I checked one of my notes. Sometimes in February or so, I said, did you write this? Oh, Jesus Christ. You grow. Praise the Lord. You keep growing. You keep growing. And I'll keep growing. Your heart is tender. You're humble. Praise the Lord. Glory to His name. Watch this. Acts 18. And a certain Jew named Apollos, verse 24, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. So I say eloquent. Eloquent means that he knew how to speak. He can talk well. And his eloquence wasn't oratory. It was the fact that he was mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. These descriptions are not ordinary. He can quote the Bible very well. Eloquent man. Look at the next verse. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. The word instructed here is the word katecheo. K-A-T-C-H-E-O. It's used for oral teaching. So he's not a dem say truth. He heard it. You see that word used in Galatians 1:4, note this. Acts 21:21 and 24. Galatians 1:4, Acts 21:21 and 24. Romans 2:18 and 1 Corinthians 14:19. Romans 2:18, 1 Corinthians 14:19 means oral submission. Also in Galatians 6:6, when it says, let him that is taught in word communicate to him that teacheth. That is, you are instructed by speaking. So when Paul says that, he's not just talking about those that you read their books, but those that also teach you verbally. Galatians 6:6. So this man was taught. That means he was a disciple of the word. He was a student of the word. And being fervent, watch this, in the spirit. The word fervent there is the word zeal. It's the same word Paul used in Romans 12:11. Be not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit. Zeo pneumatos. He is fervent in the spirit. That is a trait of a born again person. Fervent in the spirit. Then he says, he spake and taught accurately. So say accurately. That's what diligent, the things of the Lord. The word accurately is the word akribos. A-K-R-I-B-O-S. It means carefully. He was not a loose speaker. With whatever he knew, he was diligent about it. There are people today that I respect them. Some of the things they teach, I don't believe in it. I don't think they are true. For example, a man like Pastor W.F. Kumi, I don't believe a few things he says. But I've been following him not nearly 30 years. I mean, listening to him. I've never met many who were careful like the man is with the Bible. You will see, I was watching him yesterday or on Friday, and I was watching him teach. And I said, this man hasn't changed. He's still as diligent, as careful. He picks the text. He reads them. He just no loose talk. He never talks to excite anybody. I may not exactly believe what he's saying. Everything he says. Not most. I said everything. I may say no, but Paul meant this here and all that. But I am grateful for the diligence that I saw him early in life. Early. And that diligence is something which you emulate. He's 78, I think, now. And he's just the same way. Praise the Lord. Diligence. That attitude. And so, whatever we saw in Apollos here, he may not have all the light, but he has the right attitude. Who's following what I'm saying here? He has the right attitude. There are those who have the light, like those in Corinth, and they have the bad attitude. Bad attitude. There are those that Timothy pastored who became tired of the truth. Give us something else. Christ died. Christ died. Christ died. Christ in you. Christ in you. Preach. Teach. Preach. Teach. Do the word. Walk in love. Can we have more? What? 18 principles of Egypt. In the church. She was careful. Watch this now. He's careful. He taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now, this is where King James didn't say it well. How many of you have another version that says the things of Jesus? The word there is Hoisos. What's your version? Huh? What's your version? The things about Jesus. Because when it's the things of the Lord, this is why people didn't know he was saved. He was actually preaching Jesus. But he knew only the baptism of John. You know, John was the greatest of the prophets, and his revelation was limited. So, the kind of knowledge he had wasn't wide enough. But this fellow was a Christian. And if you heard him, you will be saved, right? Come on. You will be saved. Because John talked about Jesus. John talked about salvation. John talked about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John did. And obviously this guy spoke in tongues. Because he understood John's baptism. What Jesus says in Acts 1:5 was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In John 3, John talked about eternal life. John 3:36. John. So this man knew about eternal life. He knew about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He knew about forgiveness of sins. So he was saved. He was saved. Hallelujah. And you see, sometimes when you, I'll tell you this one. To the glory of God, I've been teaching ministers this year, every 24 years. To next year, 23 years. I've been teaching ministers going from Bible school to Bible school, different parts of Nigeria, to time West Africa. I observe that whenever people were diligent before they come into contact with accurate teaching of the word, they are easier to communicate the word with. There's something about sincerity. There's just so much sincerity. That this was just what this guy knew. It wasn't like he went all out to be against the truth. So, Apollos would be that kind of fellow who, he's sincere. He might not have all the light, but with the one that he had, he was diligent. Such men, when you come in contact with them, I'm grateful to God, for example, I used to quote like this before. Like, I will quote and quote and quote and quote and there will be demonstrations of power and miracles, and I used to, you know, go from crusade to crusade. Then one of my friends, you know, he had been watching. In fact, there was a meeting we had in 1995, I think. Then he said, yeah, it was 95. I think so, it was in 94. He said, oh, you come and do miracles. Come and give us what, and that's what he said. He just believed that you guys. Then he now called me. He said, the way you are preaching, because I will quote and quote and quote. I'll just say power, power. I'll quote power from every verse of the Bible, even though power of the devil was part of it. So he said, do you understand the Bible in the light of it? It was 1994. Do you understand the Bible in the light of redemption? I said, yes, it's our Redeemer. I can quote you 20 scriptures on redemption. I said, no. Bible in the light of redemption. He said, I'll give you a book. Go and read it. Oh my God, God, just calm down. So he gave me the Father and his Family. So go and read this. I was on the, it was like a balcony. I sat there, I stood there, and I did not leave that place till I was halfway done. I closed it. I walked away. What have I been preaching? So I went and I began to read. I got more E.W. Kenyon books. I'd read Brother Hagin before, but somehow I didn't pay attention. I had read a book by John Holston before on righteousness. I've seen that. But I just thought, wow, this is good. And I was ready to teach righteousness the next day. I mean, I understood it. And I was glad. But this just broke the ice. Then I read the Bible in the light of our redemption. And I read, the next one I read was two kinds of righteousness. Then two kinds of faith. Within 2 weeks or so, or 3 weeks, I must have read all A.W. Kenyon books. I said, what have I been saying? And you know, you will have continued like that. And your church will grow. You just grow people like you. That's all. But as I saw it, and you keep growing the light. There was a year, 1999, 2000, I taught a series on giving and receiving. 18 weeks. 18 weeks. So I saw a book by Brother Hagin, Midas Touch, in a friend's house at Joyce B in Ibadan. As I saw the book, the guy said he couldn't release the book because it was a friend's friend actually that owned it. He said, I couldn't release the book. I said, give me the book. I went to the restroom and I finished the book. And I went back to the church I was pastoring. And I withdrew that teaching from circulation. I was wrong. You see, there's something about that kind of attitude. That's why I'm never afraid of the consequences of correct Bible interpretation. I've left that path. Now, if you don't like it, I won't say it. I will say it, whether you like it or not. It is the truth. So look at this, Apollos. It's an attitude in itself that promotes spiritual growth. And don't forget, this man was reputable, or reputed, pardon me. He was known, so he was popular. Today, he'll probably have followership on social media, Instagram, Facebook, on TV. He was preaching everywhere. Wow, have you heard Apollos? That guy is solid, or like we say, he's warded. He's warded. But then Priscilla and Aquila, interestingly, a woman was one of them. They saw him. When they heard, sometimes you can hear, that guy is solid, hear the person first. When they heard, they took him unto them. That again is an attitude. A humble attitude. They took him. That is, they said, come. And in the Greek, it's like a continual word. They keep coming. Just keep coming. They now began to mentor him. And what they do to him, watch this. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, more accurately. The word took unto him is the word pros lambano. What it means is they took him along to their meetings, to their services. At that point when they were doing this, was he preaching? He stopped preaching. This is a mistake many people make. They will continue to do things. I told the preacher, I said, you will have to stop those programs you do. Jericho Hour. Stop it. Jericho Hour. That's the service. I said, stop this Jericho Hour. Because you will try to be looking for Jericho in the epistles. Because you want to continue what you are doing. Stop it. So they took him. So he was following them. They'll go for meetings. Obviously, they'll be listening to Paul's material. And he was listening. They took him. He didn't have a problem with it. He didn't say, this is your own, this is my own. Let's blend it. No. He listened. And they expounded unto him more accurately. The word used here is the same word that they used earlier in verse 25. It's the same word, acribos, but much more. So even though he was diligent, there was much more diligence he should have had. Who's following what I'm saying here? Much more diligence. He now paid more attention to details. I'll tell you, about last 6 years or so of my life, have been much more patient with the Bible. I now take, in fact, what I do now, this is, you don't have to do this. For example, if I'm doing a series now in service, I have an outline of what I'm teaching. And I'm continuing next week. I don't try and make it blend so that I won't misquote myself. No. I will read those things all over again like I did not teach them last week. So in case there was something I did not see, I will see. No time to protect anything. The truth will remain the truth. They took him around. They now expand it to him more diligently. So you can be diligent and yet be more, you need to be watchful, much more diligent. So they took him. So that's why it's good for us to be able to receive people in spite of what they don't believe. Some of us don't know how to do that. I remember a guy like that in university. He had a list like that. If he's going around, you say, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I can't be your friend." Relax now. M-O-G. Paul says, when you see weak brethren, receive them without doubtful disputation. Romans 14, verse 1 and 3. Receive them. Accept them. So they now explain to him. The word explain there is the word ektitaimi. It's used in Acts 11:4 and Acts 28:23. It means detailed explanation. That is, they press further for him. I'm grateful to God, you know, for the light. I'm much more light. And light. Remember the first time I told you, many of you know the story, when I first taught Bible interpretation. I went to a church. After I dazzled them with my quoting of scripture and gifts of the Spirit. The man, and you know, I was taught to sermonize 16 principles of a successful Christian life. When I get to number three is be patient. And I say, 8 principles of patience. By the time I'm done, you say, that was a teaching. Which teaching? So the pastor said, "Sir, we have a Bible school. Will you come and teach?" I was taking Sprite when he was in it. I know the course you do very well. I was aeronautics. I never heard it before. I said, "I'll do it. Arithmetic, calisthenics. I just remembered it." So I now went to a seminary here in Lagos, owned by the Aladura Church. You know why? Because I was born that way. So I went to ask a friend there. Ben is his name. I said, "What is hermeneutics?" He said, "That's Bible interpretation." So I got a material from him. Say, there's an attitude. Obviously, this guy had the right attitude. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Let's go further. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped much them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and publicly showing by the scripture, that Jesus was Christ. So was there a change in his ministry? Come on, was there a change in his ministry? Very good. Was he already in the ministry? But was he growing? Now being in the, no, he was growing. You got that wrong. He was growing. But he was still ignorant of many things. His knowledge of Jesus from John, was it inaccurate? Was it false? No. But was it sufficient? No. So, in ministry, we can grow. We can grow. There's nowhere I go to in life. Nowhere. And they are teaching. I will be taking notes. Actually, some people, I just look at them. I have never been out of the ministry since I started. I can almost tell you, except on a few occasions, there's no week I have not taught the gospel. Yet there's nowhere I go to. And there's no subject in the Bible you can ask me to teach that will scratch my head. None. But anywhere I go to, if you are the one preaching, I'll take notes. It's an attitude. Don't cross leg and be doing your hand. Tell them. Tell who? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What?
I used to say this in the 60s. The bad attitude.
It's an attitude for growth. When you see a man act like he's a man of God, sitting in minister's seat, crossing his leg, he's not growth, though. That's not a sign of growth. That's a bad attitude. That I asked a pastor one day that was in his church to preach. He was just sitting down. He held his iPad like this. And I asked him, how would it look like if all your members do this? He saw my point. The next service, he dropped his iPad, brought Bible, and looked. Whether he was now drawing Mickey Mouse, I don't know. But the point was, I made him see that fact. Have the right attitude. Spiritual growth is not being able not to hear the word again. That is the opposite of spiritual growth. This man, he developed more insight. I could have gone into Paul, but it's a bit of a different theology. I won't want to bog your mind on that. You know? So, obviously, just like the last soil, quickly go to Matthew 13, we'll close from there. Matthew 13. Remember that last soil? You like that parable now? Do you understand it now? Well, I've taught you before. Matthew 13. He that received, verse 23, the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Matthew 13, 23. What happens? Don't forget, Luke says that he patiently brought forth fruit. Consistently. He understands it and bears fruit and brings forth the sum 100, some 60, and some 30. Some put it 40, 60, 100. So he's patient. He's not a false convert. Don't forget we talked about the false convert in Matthew 13. That should be verse 24 and 26, 25. Remember the one that sowed the tares? Zizanion. Can you remember Zizanion? That will look like wheat, but it's not wheat. He will look like a Christian. He's a false brother. He's not born again. He never heard the gospel. He never did. I once preached for someone in 95. And he told me. And he used to see visions a lot. No. He was associate pastor. So as I was preaching, I just had a vision. And I saw that he was into idolatry. And they said he used to give a lot of accurate words of knowledge and words of wisdom and stuff like that. He sees things. And I called him privately. I never told the pastor. I just called him. I said, young man, I remember his name, his size, his height, everything. I said, you have so and so you kept in your wardrobe. Was given to you by so and so person. The guy was shaking. I said, I won't tell the pastor. Go and bring it. So he went to bring it. And so I had to discreetly minister to him. Then he said, sir, I'm not a Christian. But he was a pastor. You won't know. That's the danger about wheat and tares growing together. This unknown will look like a Christian, but he's not. That's what Jesus said. You might know later on. You might never know because in Jesus' parable, he says it's at the end of the age. That you will know. But this one that fell on the good ground, he says he brought forth fruit, 40, 60, 100, 30, 60. That's not false conversion. The false convert is not in Christ. Remember the John 15 account? The branch that is not in him will be cast out and burned with fire. That branch is not in him. The one that is in him and doesn't bear fruit, he will lift it up. That's the word take away. And prune it. Okay? But the one that is not in him, the Father can't do anything that is not in the Son. You have to be in him first. Then bring forth fruit. So growth begins at salvation. Okay? Growth must be by the word. You cannot grow with a gospel of materialism. You cannot grow with a gospel of legalism. You can only grow with the word. And that's why Paul would say to you, when you see somebody preach materialism, Romans 16, 17, 18, says, withdraw from him, avoid them, okay? False doctrine, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, he says, evil communication corrupts good manners, false doctrine. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, 17, he says, you avoid them. That's what he said. 1 Timothy 6, 5, he says, stay away. That's what to do. Because if you don't, you will not grow. Philippians 3, 18 and 19 says, whose God is their belly? Paul says, I warned you before, now I do it with tears. Who mind earthly things. You can't grow in an assembly where what you're talking about is money, 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 money. People making progress in their career. That is not for spiritual growth. That is for commercial growth, which you must hear in your offices, in your job, but to grow and be devoted to the Lord. That's not what you hear. You hear about Jesus. You see his example. You hear what the apostles taught. You hear what Jesus taught. Then you are growing. Paul says to avoid those who are oxers, who peddle the word. 2 Corinthians 2:17. You can't grow by legalism. You can't grow by false doctrine. You cannot grow by false doctrine. 2 Timothy 2:18. Spiritual growth can only be in the message of salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. You're blessed. You're blessed. Stand for a few. Let's bless the Lord.